In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People of God, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations, for great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. We pray for you to shine the light of your love inside of us, Lord Jesus. Even as we try to be the salt and light of the world, we continue to sin against you. With heavy hearts, we confess our sins to you as we first focus in silence on you. Lord of mercy and might, we confess to you. We confess to you, Lord. We confess to you, Lord. We confess to you, Lord. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. God has heard our prayer. God is with us. And Christ Jesus is in our midst as he promised by his death and resurrection. He forgives our sins and opens the gates of heaven to us. By our baptism, we have been given new life as children of God, so that the command and promise of Emmanuel, our Lord Jesus Christ, as a called and ordained servant of the word and in the stead and by the command of Christ, I declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Redeemed, restored, and ready to serve our Lord, let's now greet one another in the peace of the Lord. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship him.
All right, today's reading is for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. It's from Isaiah chapter 58. The Israelites ask, "Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it?" The Lord responds, "Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread the sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bounds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall call, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing finger, and speaking wickedness." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians. "And I, when I come to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. and my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But now in these last days, long ago in many ways, and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
Please stand for the reading of our gospel.
Our gospel lesson, the good news being read in Christian churches throughout the world on this day, comes from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning in verse 13. As Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount, reminding us that you are the salt and light of the world, Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And so on this Commitment Sunday, we will once again take just a portion of the Apostles' Creed this morning, the first article with its meaning. What is the first article of the Apostles' Creed? What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
Friends, God's grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. Because indeed, through our Lord and Savior and the faith given to us by the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. Amen. My text for this morning is from that epistle lesson. Even as we talk about what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we hear these words that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Dear friends, once in a while, it gets late in the evening, since I've gotten on Facebook, I've noticed that they've got all of these neat little quizzes and little test-type things that you can take. And a couple of weeks ago, I had one that kind of interested me. Now I'm not a big TV junkie. I certainly wasn't back in the 1980s. But they had a test. Could you, by looking at a single picture, identify the name of the TV series for however long it ran? And now they were all multiple choice ones, and I got to admit that there were several that I'd never seen them. I kind of remember it, and I knew because of the choices I could get it down to about two, and I had a pretty good idea which of the two it was. And as it turned out, even though there were a good number of these television programs, I had not even watched one time. I got 49 out of 50 right. Let's see if you can beat that score. But, okay. And I realized then that, you know, sometimes this demonstrates as much as to some of the special gifts that we are given. The ability to see things that other people can't see and understand things. And you know, we've got a real mess going on in our country politically. I think we can admit that. And sometimes I'm not so sure that it's no more of the fact that there are certain people that are wired a certain way and they see everything over here. As far as they can tell, they see it clearly. But there's a whole lot more to see, and it's all over here. They don't see any of it. Meanwhile, there's a whole group of people and they see this as clearly as they can. But they don't see this. And because two sides just do not understand the other, we assume the worst, which is never the right thing to do, by the way. But sometimes it just harkens the fact that all of us have got some things that we do well, some things that surprise us how well we can do. So, for example, one of the things that I quickly discovered once I learned there was such a thing growing up, I actually became pretty good with geography. And it made me ask, since I mentioned 50 a while ago, if I put up a big map of the United States, here's the lower 48 states, and then we put those other two states somewhere that aren't attached, how many of you think that you would be able to identify all 50 states and where they are? How many of you think you can do it? How many of you think you can do it? Okay. Now, folks, this was good to see. A good number of hands went up, and I would expect that. Last night, no matter what I did, three hands. Only three in the entire group were convinced they could do that. Which kind of messed me up because my next question was going to be, okay, that's not hard. Okay. Now, how many of you think that you can identify the state capitals in each one of these? And I know there's a couple of you out there that's like, okay, I'll take it on. Now, just so you will know, when they give tests like that on state capitals,
Guess which state is among the top 10 of states where they miss the state capital? What other state would I be referring to except our own? Florida. I mean, there's Miami, you know, Orlando, and somehow or another, the word Tallahassee does not get into that conversation, okay? Now, enough of that. As we gather ourselves together as God's people, we learn the same thing, that when Jesus has identified us as the salt of the earth, the light of the world, not only does he need us to be able to provide some things in a world of darkness, a world that that otherwise is rather tasteless, our Lord gives us what we need so that we can see. We can see things that other people just cannot see. This is what it means, friends, to have the mind of Christ, where we, first of all, we understand what Christ was sent into the world to do. The ultimate folly, the ultimate foolishness for people is to even be talking about Jesus Christ, to act like somehow that's an important thing, or it has to be in the lives of people. But for you, it is the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. And only through Jesus Christ does any of that take place. But then in the midst of having the mind of Christ, we are reminded about what the difference is between the spirit of the world and the spirit of God. Because out there, we're focused on all the wrong things. We are in the midst of a great darkness that literally has us running into each other, prioritizing things that just, in the grand scheme of things, are not going to be that important. While the kinds of things we need to be focused on, for us, they're right there in front of us. And we get a chance to see it, to share it, to live it, and downright to love it. What it means is that even in times of trouble, sorrow, times when we feel the weight of a sin that we have committed, we know to go to our Lord and Savior. And on top of that, then our Lord and Savior, he not only gives abundantly, and we heard about what God provides in the first article, he surprises us sometimes. You know, we get ourselves to the point where it's like, well, how much more is there for us to be able to learn about what Christ has done for us? And oh, I know, I don't read my Bible the way I should. And look, I'm never going to be a PhD scholar in Bible study. But you know, just this past week, I returned from a workshop in which one of the things that they sought to do was to help equip pastors with tools of some rather simple things that we can share with God's people. Now, I'm going to be doing this throughout the month with some of the boards and committees I'm going to be meeting with, but I'm going to let you in now on what it is that we're going to do. One of the most precious tools given to me just this past week was to remind ourselves what we have the opportunity to go when we, shall we say, go to the Lord when it is time for prayer. Martin Luther once said, "Boy, I've had an extraordinarily long and busy day. I guess I need to spend another hour in prayer." Well, Martin Luther, contrary to what a lot of people were thinking, was not saying, "I need to spend an additional 60 minutes or however many seconds that is in prayer." It's not all what he meant. He was simply pointing out how important it really is that that as we have more concerns that our lives during the course of a long and busy day are going to bring, we don't forget to bring those to the Lord. But we need not have that consume hours and hours. And sometimes what we simply need is something that really gets our prayer started, something simple, but something profound. And so A suggestion was made. Okay, however well we might know our Bibles, all of us know some pieces of Holy Scripture. A passage, a part of a passage. Some of the more well-known things that come out of our study of Holy Scripture. I'll just use the example, the Lord is my shepherd, from Psalm 23. About as simple as it gets. If you want to add the words, I shall not want, that's up to you. I'm going to be doing with this these things now, because at each one of our special meetings, I'm going to be calling out and asking you to give me one of those. Something that's in the Bible. And then when you give that to me, we're going to do three things with it. First of all, we're going to ponder just on the words themselves. Because anytime you ponder on Holy Scripture, you ponder on any of the things that we heard today, and maybe the best ones we can use today. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And you think about what that means. Then you turn it into a thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you have chosen me to be that person and to help me so that I can reflect that, because what a privilege it is. And then third, you turn it into a confession. I know that many times the salt was there and I failed to use it. The light was placed inside of me and I threw a blanket over it rather than reflecting it to your people. And once you've gone through all of that, you make that into a prayer. It does not need to be a long one. And then from that point, all the concerns and worries and thankfulness that you have come flowing out of there simply from a tiny little piece of Scripture. The simplicity of it, but the profoundness of it, is something that almost shocked me this week. It's something I'm going to be adding to my discipline, but it's something I suppose that I wanted to share with each of you, because excuse me, if it helps you, even a tiny little bit as much as it helped me, it's going to be a tremendous addition to our spiritual lives. And that's indeed what our Commitment Sunday is all about. We do not, cannot, and will not be tying these things to budgets, because that's not what it's all about, even though that is no small part of what we're going to give back. And so what I have done here is I'll put the card on the screen. Yeah, I know the print's a little bit small, but this is what is in front of you. And we are reminded what the words "in loving and faithful response" is all about, because this is all it is. God gives, and here's what we give back. To my Savior's abundant grace, love, gifts, and opportunities that he gives my life through the life of his Son, my Savior, who gave up his life for me. And then it says, I pledge to my Savior in this 60th anniversary year. And then take a look. My commitment to share all that he has shared with me. First of all, my time in both priorities, kind of a reset, if you will, of what we're going to make important this year, and in prayers, as I just described. My talents in both service and in spirit, where we're going to go along using the things we have with the mind of Christ. My testimony, both to friends and to those that are faith ready. My troubles, which we've talked about before, that we're willing to not give to others, not internalize it, but give those to our Lord and Savior. And my treasures, my possessions, income, investment, whatever. In particular, I pledge to share with my church this year the following, and this is what ultimately it is about. What can I give that my church needs this year in the midst of what my family needs, what I need for my personal discipline? And then we have placed this year, all the responses will go on the backside. Now you have noticed again just what it is we've done. The same card is on both sides. The same lines are on both sides. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to fill these out. If you've not done so already, hopefully by now you already have your envelope filled out. Again, put the same on both sides. You don't have to put everything in who knows what it's going to be, because this is only for you. When you have this filled out, nice little line in the middle of it here, you will, best thing you can do is just fold it at the line. It should tear apart nice and easy. You keep one. This is yours. This is your reminder every day the rest of the year of what you're pledging to the Lord. The other one, you fold up. You probably have to fold it once. Put it in the envelope that you've already addressed, seal it, and then that's what will go in the basket. And in October, between now and October, we're just going to keep those envelopes in a safe place. We're not going to have a bunch of people staring down and peering at what you've put in there to see if it's good enough. These envelopes are sealed, and in October, they will be returned to you. We're going to mail them. Just that's why you're putting your address on it, so that you can be reminded of the commitment that you made to the Lord. Because ultimately, this is what the Lord has given to us. And to have the mind of Christ means we're never going to allow ourselves to forget how the Lord has blessed us and what we're going to do in reply. And so, my friends, as God has given us his gifts, he has surprised us by his grace, he has empowered us by his love, and he has allowed us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Let's take the time now. Let's fill these cards out. Again, we'll have to fill them out twice. But let's take a few moments as we prepare ourselves to commit to the Lord and to his church. Let's take a few minutes. Friends, is there anybody else who needs more time? Okay, we're working on it here. What I'll do, though, is I'll start to transition what's going to happen now. Here in just a moment, we are not going to have a, I'll use the term, traditional offering. So if you have your faith fellowship cards ready to go and your envelopes with your commitment card as well as your offerings, we're going to ask you to bring them all forward this morning. First thing we're going to do here is the ushers are going to come up and they're going to be taking the collection plates. A couple of them are going to go around for those of you where it would be too difficult for you to come forward, as well as those that are serving us, like in the booth and so forth. If you are not able to come forward, you might want to raise your hand when, as soon as we start singing here, to let us know that we need to come past you. The rest of you, in as orderly fashion as possible, preferably a row here and then a row there and a row here and a row there, start coming forward. There will be ushers with offering plates on both sides of the box. Place your offerings and your faith fellowship card in the offering plates. Place your envelope of commitment inside the Josiah box, and then you can return to your seats. And while we are doing that, we are going to sing the hymn, "Thy Strong Word Did Cleave the Darkness." And so, my friends, as we are ready now, let's bring our commitments and our first fruits to the Lord. Our service continues at the bottom of page 8 with the Sung Kyrie followed by the Lord's Prayer.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Gracious Father, we ask that you, as you spread the gospel and extend your kingdom among all nations on the earth, cause us to be the salt of that earth, the light of that world, that we may shine forth your love into the hearts and lives of many. Remind each and every one of us that in the midst of life, that we are taught to be patient in hope, firm in trust, and faithful in prayer until that day comes when you will gather your own into your everlasting kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Precious Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, comfort and bless the afflicted among us, that they may learn to know your good and gracious will in all things and find release from their burdens and trials. Be with those who are cast down, sick, anxious, weak, needy, homebound, facing surgery, facing extended illness, or with the weight of a sin lying upon them. Give them comfort, patience, peace, strength, help, a firm outlook, and trust in you, as well as forgiveness. We now lift up before you someone in our own life that is in need of the help that you give, that we name before you in a moment of silence. Bless B. Shirkus as she faces surgery tomorrow morning at Trinity. And for all of God's people here that are going through things, pour out your mercy on us all, teaching us to set our hearts on things above, where Christ our Lord lives and reigns through Jesus Christ our Lord. We now conclude on the top of page 10 with the closing prayer for grace, as well as the benediction. So we close in prayer together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Friends, don't forget to visit our teens for our sweetheart dance next week, as well as if you need to still sign up for that pictorial directory. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.